Hi, I'm Aislinn Antrim with Pharmacy Times, and you're listening to Pharmacy Focus Oncology Edition, where we break down the latest news in the oncology pharmacy space. Can you introduce yourself?
Sure. Yeah, my name is Danielle Roman. I'm an oncology clinical pharmacist and manager for our clinical pharmacy, oncology clinical pharmacy team at Allegheny Health Network.
Perfect. So breast cancer, at least from my perspective, has seemed to be developing really quickly in recent years with new treatments and new discoveries all the time. Are there any really key shifts or developments in this space that you would like to highlight?
One of the biggest kind of exciting news that has come out recently is some of the news with HER2 low. So really identifying that there are patients that are not classified as HER2 positive disease based on historical testing methods that still benefit from HER2 targeted therapies. So I think this is a really exciting news. It's a huge population of patients that may have benefit from a therapy that was previously thought to provide no benefit at all.
Absolutely. I was just reading that recently, and it is a huge population of patients. I was surprised.
Yeah, I would just add in terms of other exciting things, I think that we're seeing even more of a shift into more oral-based therapies for patients. So potentially some newer oral options for patients that would eliminate the need for frequent visits to the infusion room, injections, and that type of thing. So I think that's also exciting from a patient perspective.
Absolutely. There have been some particularly good developments for metastatic breast cancer, which has historically been very challenging and very devastating outcomes. Are we seeing a shift towards kind of more treatable metastatic breast cancer and more opportunities in this space?
Yeah, I definitely agree with that. I think there are so many options now, which is a great thing for our patients, a great thing for our providers. It also makes it very challenging as a clinician to keep it all straight because there are a number of options and the guidelines are extensive. So there's a lot to know there in breast cancer, but an exciting field with continued developments all the time. So I think in particular metastatic breast cancer in the area of HER2 low disease, you know, those exciting developments, I think also in HER2 positive disease over the last couple of years, there's been a lot of developments beyond first line therapy. So getting into the second, third, fourth line approaches, a lot more options for those patients than we had previously. And then for our largest patient population, patients with hormone receptor positive, HER2 negative disease. I think, you know, there's some exciting options here. I mentioned oral therapies, so there might be some newer options for patients beyond first line endocrine therapy with some oral approaches when traditionally those patients would have gotten an injectional approach.
Wonderful. Historically, experts believed that breast cancer was immunologically silent, was the phrase that I saw. But some newer studies have found that immunotherapy could potentially be effective, particularly in HER2 positive and triple negative breast cancer. Can you discuss this finding?
Yeah, so it seemed like, you know, for those of us involved in treating patients with breast cancer and knowing the data in this area, it was kind of disappointing for a while because every other malignancies it seemed was getting, had all these great benefits with immunotherapy, and breast cancer really just didn't seem to be that malignancy that was getting the benefits. But happily that is not the case with recent developments. I think with, it's been a little bit of a roller coaster in breast cancer with immunotherapy in terms of having some data that looked very positive initially with the atezolizumab and chemotherapy and having that that approval withdrawn by the FDA with some evidence showing that potentially that was not an effective option for patients. But now having data with pembrolizumab in combination with chemotherapy, but I think really where that benefit lies, we believe based on the current evidence, is for those patients with triple negative disease. That does seem to be the subtype of breast cancer that is particularly immunologically driven, where we've really seen the benefit of immunotherapy. And it's also a malignancy where PD-L1 expression matters, because that's also a challenging part of immunotherapy as a whole is, you know, where does that matter? What malignancies does it matter, and where does it not matter? We know that the data with breast cancer does show, at least with what we have now, that it does appear those patients with more expression of PD-L1 do tend to be those patients that have better response to immunotherapy. And it also seems that single agent immunotherapy really doesn't appear to have, at least at this point, have much of a, have shown much of a benefit in breast cancer. So combinations with chemotherapy are where we stand. And really in those triple negative patients, I think there's some promising clinical trial data in the HER2 positive patient setting, kind of more early phase trials that are showing some possible benefit there. And hopefully more to come in that setting.
Definitely. Are there any pipeline treatments that pharmacists should really be keeping an eye on?
Yeah, I think I'm hopeful with patients with metastatic hormone receptor positive, HER2 negative disease. Mentioned potentially some new oral therapies. There's one in particular that I'm kind of paying attention to, elacestrant. So that is an oral SERD, selective estrogen receptor degrader. So instead of our option, currently only option in that class with fulvestrant, it's an IM injection. This is an oral option that looks to be promising in clinical trials. The FDA is reviewing that now. So possibly early next year, that could be an option on the market. And I think particularly in the setting of giving patients that oral option for an all oral regimen, you know, is going to be beneficial from a quality of life perspective, you know, just decreasing visits, convenience for our patients. So hopefully that's something we'll see. I think particularly in the area of HER2 low metastatic breast cancer, there's still a lot to be determined there. I think a lot of new compounds are being tested in that area. One agent in particular, I think we might see more on, is an agent, trastuzumab duocarmazine. That's an antibody drug conjugate. So we have our trastuzumab deruxtecan on the market now for that patient population. And potentially this is another agent with a somewhat similar mechanism of action, different chemotherapy backbone as part of that conjugate that has some promising activity in the HER2 low patient population. So hopefully that agent might be added to our options in the future. And then also a bi-specific antibody, zenocutuzumab, that they're looking at in breast cancer as well. So that is a dual HER2, HER3 blockade that appears more potent than pertuzumab. So potentially that would be something else that we could see down the road. So there's always a lot in breast cancer. Those are just a couple of the ones that I have my eyes on.
Definitely wonderful. Kind of diving into pharmacists' roles in all of this, how are pharmacists involved in breast cancer treatment, and what unique insights or perspectives do they bring to the team?
I think there's so much of breast cancer treatment that is done in the outpatient setting. So I think in particular, our ambulatory pharmacists have a huge role here. Many of these patients are being treated for long periods of time. So they really develop relationships with the medical team, including their pharmacists. And I think that the regimens tend to be pretty complicated for these patients. It's usually multi-agent. And there's a lot to talk about in terms of administration specifics, adverse effects. And I think the pharmacists here play a huge role in helping to be a resource to patients through the longevity of their treatment. I'm heavily involved in patient education in the ambulatory setting. So making sure that patients are really comfortable with all that they need to know about treatments as they start them. And then continuing to follow the patients longitudinally throughout their treatment to be a resource to them from an adverse effect management, making sure that they're getting their medications on time, talking to patients about adherence, and working with my pharmacy colleagues in other areas, you know, helping on the side of dispensing the medications, just to make sure that we're on the same page, that patients are actually getting their prescriptions, drug interaction screening. I mean, there's just so much here that the pharmacists have a huge role in helping to maintain for patients.
Have you listened to the array of other podcasts from Pharmacy Focus? We have content for every specialty, including retail pharmacists, technicians, students, and more. In the latest episode of Pharmacy Focus, we spoke with an expert to get the big picture for the future of health system pharmacy. Listen now wherever you get your podcasts.
Pharmacists are often really perfectly positioned to be that person that communicates with the patients and really educates them about the complexities of this or the really challenging topics. So can you discuss this role as kind of an educational provider in breast cancer?
Yeah, I really like what my institution has done in recent years, which is for patients that are starting therapies, is to do this really as a multidisciplinary approach. Our kind of the trajectory for patients on these therapies is that they have a lot of interactions with our pharmacy team. They have a lot of interactions with our nursing team, in addition to the provider team. So we do this as a multidisciplinary approach to educate the patients from our unique perspectives. So the pharmacist really focusing in on the specifics of the drug therapy, with oral therapy, which is a big component of treatment for a lot of our patients with breast cancer, talking to them about the specifics of administration, the adverse effect profile of all of these agents, kind of what to expect from therapy is a big thing. I think it can be frightening as you start a new therapy, as you're switching therapy, a lot of unknowns. And I think the pharmacist team can be really beneficial as a resource to patients and helping to just make sure that they feel educated, helping answer all those questions and hopefully ease some of the anxiety with transitioning to a new therapy.
Absolutely. Well, you've talked about this quite a bit, but as more and more treatments become oral and potentially shift into the home environment, patients are able to take them with much more flexibility. How are pharmacists more important than ever to ensure that patients are adherent to these challenging regimens?
Yeah, I think with that, it's not a one and done. I mean, this is something that you really want to maintain close contact with patients throughout the course of their therapy. So I don't think it's enough just to say that, you know, something that you met with a patient and educated them initially and then just kind of, you know, let them go and do their thing. I think this is really something that even though the patients have a huge responsibility with these oral therapies, I still think there's also a large burden of responsibility on the healthcare team to follow these patients closely, longitudinally. And one way that I've seen this done successfully is, at least early on in therapy, having regular touch points scheduled with patients. So what I think that I've seen and has been beneficial is a touch point 1 to 2 weeks after the patient starts therapy. And this isn't something that we wait for the patient call. This is something that we actually schedule on the provider end and make sure that we have that touch point with the patient. And then before each refill, and we do this at least with the first 3 cycles of therapy to make sure that we're identifying any toxicities early, that we're identifying any issues the patient may be having with adherence, drug interactions early on. So all of that, that we're keeping that close contact and we're letting the patient know that we're there as a resource throughout therapy. So even beyond those early months, still, you know, making sure that they know to reach out to the team and keeping that close contact moving forward, I think is important. And a pharmacist is really well positioned to be a part of that directly or working very closely with the team to carry out those, you know, touch points with patients.
Wonderful. Well, speaking of kind of moving between teams and all of these appointments, what do effective transitions of care really look like in your institution and how are pharmacists involved in these processes?
Yeah, so I think usually, you know, when we talk about transitions of care, we're talking about inpatient, outpatient or vice versa. And so I think it's been helpful to us to have pharmacists that are in both of those settings that you know, are part of that larger team together. We work very closely in that handoff of information between settings. So particularly when we talk about oral therapies and as patients are admitted, you know, there's oftentimes question of whether is that something that should be continued. or held during a time of admission, and that's highly dependent on the patient situation. And then at time of discharge, as we take back to the outpatient setting, making sure that we're restarting their drug at appropriate time, making sure that they have timely follow-up in that setting. So I think all of that, you know, we have pharmacists positioned in both of those settings. So good communication is really important there. But I think also in transitions of care, we can talk about transitioning even between outpatient settings. So I think that's a big thing. And I think just making sure that the pharmacists have that line of communication wherever they are is important.
Absolutely. The broader public is typically more aware of breast cancer prevention, especially during October. We see the pink ribbons everywhere and lots of things going on. Can you discuss how pharmacists in all environments and throughout the year can help educate patients about signs and symptoms and other things that they should know about breast cancer?
Yeah, I think that there are many opportunities from my pharmacist colleagues to be involved in that education. I think one thing, you know, to know about this patient population is that, you know, many times breast cancer is detected as by mammogram. So it's not something that patients are necessarily identifying signs and symptoms of disease, and tends to be, you know, something that when there are a lot of symptoms, it tends to be more a later stage disease. So we're hoping that patients are getting their screening, that things are caught early. So I think as pharmacists encouraging patients to making them aware of schedules for screening mammograms and helping to encourage them to have that screening done, you know, can be very impactful for patients.
Thanks for listening to Pharmacy Focus Oncology Edition. And as always, tune in next month to learn more about what pharmacists need to know in the oncology space.